holiday got you down? Did you lose your job because of some corporation or COVID or something in general happening?
Yeah.
And your kids are real mad about it? Well, boy, oh boy, do we have the holiday movie for you. It's called Christmas Rush.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's called Holiday Rush.
We wish you a Merry Netflixmas. We wish you a Merry Netflixmas. We wish you a Merry Netflixmas and a Sappy New Year.
Hello. Wait. Welcome to my freshly opened bottle of wine and Netflixmas, the podcast that you are currently listening to. I am one of your hosts, Scarlett Alexandra.
I am Holly Cuomo. I'm drinking water.
Loser. Okay.
No, I could get some wine. My mother-in-law makes wine.
What?
Yeah, she makes wine. I could probably get some.
Kind of podunk mama you got.
She's from the country, like Mississippi, right. Gulf Coast, but like in the country part. She's pretty tight.
Dope. Hell yeah.
She like hunts and makes her own wine. Yeah. She brought us a bunch of deer sausage and perch.
Wait, your mother?
In law.
Mother in law.
Well, no, my mom's
like,
mom's bougie.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't your mom Filipino?
Yeah, she'll like gut a fish, but my mom's bougie. She's not gonna hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
She's like seafood lady.
I just have like I don't know why I have like a hard time picturing. I mean, this is, you know, you can correct me if I'm being really, you know, really bad here, but it's, I have a hard time picturing like a Filipino, like American redneck.
I mean, they exist.
I'm sure.
I believe in them. They exist. Yep.
Well, so welcome to this podcast. We are, in fact, not discussing our interpersonal relationship with our in-laws, but we are discussing a movie called Holiday Rush, not Christmas Rush. It is the Holiday Rush because they are inclusive, more or less, even though they do have a nativity.
Yeah, and it's all about Christmas.
Yeah, it's all about Christmas.
I think Holiday Rush sounds better than Christmas Rush.
Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah, because I guess it's like the it's a shopping term. Like, yeah. Oh, it's like we're gonna have the holiday rush, and for all the business, the capitalism.
There wasn't shopping. Well, I mean, kind of shopping kind of played a part in this movie.
It did.
The kids were spoiled as fuck, but you know,
this is a movie that it's a primarily a black movie. Lots of black actors. And you know, we're just two one and a half white girls right here.
I really okay, so I liked this movie. I picked this movie essentially for several reasons. One, I see all these podcasts talk about holiday movies.
Yeah.
And it's primarily white people, and they don't ever talk about black movies. It's like they're super scared to talk about it, or it's just not like a part of their holiday tradition. And I grew up in a mixed race household talking about, I mean, and watching all of these different kinds of movies. I love every kind of holiday movie, and I think our choice in movies really reflects that. Like, I'll pick Vanessa Hudgens movies. We watched The Holiday Calendar. Now we're watching Holiday Rush. And like, Vivica A. Fox is like a huge actress in all these holiday movies. And there's this one series, it's like Marry Me for Christmas. I think that's like the second or third one. But those movies are fun. There's like sex in it. I'm like, hell yeah. Yes. So
this was such, because I mean, like, if you're following the sort of like Hallmark tradition where it really is a white Christmas, it's really, really nice that I think a lot of these streaming platforms have made efforts to like have more inclusive holiday movies that, you know, are still in that sort of cheesy structure. But to be honest, this one was a lot better than some of the cookie cutter ones.
You said this was a lot better?
I think it was a lot better. It tried to juggle a lot of themes all at once.
It did.
which was hard. I think they tried to touch on a lot of things again, like all at once. Just like, well, not only thematically, but just plot wise. But it definitely like had a different cadence than I think like a lot of the normal ones. So we actually, I feel like we watched somewhat of a white version of this with, what was the one with Hayley Duff? Naughty and Nice.
Yeah.
Which was just painfully cookie cutter.
Yeah, that was pretty cookie cutter. I really liked the acting in this one because it felt more natural. Like some of the actors were like saying and shit.
Yeah.
And like kind of stuttering. And I was like, no, that's how like real people talk. Like that's how real people talk. We don't say all of our lines perfectly. And there's like pauses and stutters and shit.
So I actually had a really hard time keeping up with the first few scenes here because they were talking so fast.
Yeah, this movie. Okay, so normally I watch movies two or three times, and I only watched this movie once, and I think it's because it wasn't like the love story wasn't at the center of it, and then that's my shit.
Yeah,
but like this was I think this was a great holiday movie. I cried, I laughed, I had a really good time, and I would definitely watch it again. I might make my husband watch it tonight because it was that good, and I really do want to watch it again. I was just busy, but.
Because it was almost, again, like it had a lot of themes going in here. Mm-hmm. One of them being romance, one of them being like, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, fighting the corporate man. Another one was like, spoiled kids get a real life lesson. Yeah. So there was a lot of things that are like really big, like each one of those could have been like, it's like you could have focused on any one of those and it had been like a full movie.
Oh, but dead wife?
Oh, and the dead wife.
Yeah.
And like the kid who was just like the one kid who was like dealing with his, you know, mom's death, like any one of those themes could have been its own movie, but they were just put in a big old mixing bowl, you know, and popped in the oven.
I do feel like it added to the tension. Like I always liken movies that have like things keep continuously going wrong to the Paddington movies. Cause like Paddington is just like one of those clumsy fucking characters that like, he'll do something wrong and then he'll try to correct it. And it just keeps getting more and more and more wrong. And then he just ends up like with marmalade all over his head. But like this movie was like that. It's like one thing went wrong.
More things
and something
wrong.
Else went wrong. But I really liked how they were like, nah, you know what? Fuck that. We're going to make it even better. I really enjoyed that.
So yeah, so I'm you know, before we get in too much into the plot, which I have a lot of things to say about this plot.
I have a lot of questions.
Lots of questions. But this cast is a real cute cast.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
They are just, I mean, like, man, there was some, again, like for it being this sort of like a casual holiday movie, like there was some pretty A+ acting. Like there wasn't at any time where I'm like, oh, they're a person definitely acting and this is exhausting to watch.
Yeah. I love Romany Malco. I liked him. Okay, the first time I ever saw him in a movie was 40-year-old Virgin. Yeah. Almost said version.
Version.
My like accents coming out. But I really liked him in 40-year-old Virgin. I really liked him in Blades of Glory. I like him in comedy roles. He's like really fun.
He's got good comedy face.
Mm-hmm.
He's got real good comedy face. He's got so many expressions. He's just got such a likable demeanor.
He's good at getting angry, but you still like him.
Yeah. They even had that fight scene in this movie too, where you're just like, it's just because like you know that they're fighting, but you're also like, oh, that's just cute. That's just, you know, boys being boys over there. Just being, you know, look at the cute little tussle.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess he was in some Funny or Die segment, but something that he got on my radar. So I actually didn't see 40-year-old Virgin until. Like the past like few years, I was introduced to him with Weeds as Conrad.
Oh, okay.
Conrad. Yeah. Oh. But yeah, he was in a few seasons of Weeds, which I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. Mostly because, oh boy, that's Shane Botwin, the Shane and Silas Botwin of it all. All right, we're going to talk about somebody else now.
I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, because I'm very much a stickler for wanting to pronounce people's names correctly. Sonequa Martin Green, OMG.
Her, she's gorgeous.
So pretty. I do have a problem that there is a 20 year age difference between her and Romany Malco. Like 19 years, but like that's my problem in movies when like there's too big of an age gap and there's like their characters are not supposed to have that big of an age room, but there just is. It's just me being picky, but she's hot.
I mean she's 35.
Yeah, but he's like 55.
But at the same time, like when you get into your, like once you're past your 30s, does it really even matter? He also still looks like he's a child.
Yeah,
like oh my gosh, what a just gorgeous man with such smooth skin and like barely any kind of wrinkles to show for it. When they first showed on screen that he had a teenage, like a son almost about to graduate from high school, I'm like, God damn it, you have him when he was 12?
I know, he's like, is aging very, very well. I bet she's gonna age really, really well too.
Oh, like, yeah.
She's gorgeous. And I really loved her hair. So I'm glad that they had her with her braids, but also it showed how dynamic braids can be because her hair was like, in almost every single scene, her hair was not the same. And I loved the way that it was like shaved on the sides. And I loved the way it was like in two different hairstyles.
Because it definitely like looked like she worked in media. Like, because like the hairstyle itself was with like still like having like a really good style, like had like a really good style to it, but was also like I'm in business, but I'm in a cool business sort of look to it. I had like a weird issue with it up top just because of how the blonde was weaved in. It looked like an optical illusion with me for a while, and like my eyes had to adjust to it, like because like, you know, whenever you like are in pictures with like little checkers or like I don't know. It just struck my eyes that way at first. And then I just got used to it and got over it. So,
yeah.
That was it. That was my one comment about her hair. And then Darlene Love played Aunt Jo.
Yeah. I'm not really familiar with her, but I love the fact that she used to sing backup for Elvis.
Yeah. Well, she's been a singer for years and years and years. She was also in all of the Lethal Weapons as Murtaugh's wife.
Oh, that's who she played. I've seen Lethal Weapon before. Do I remember it? No.
Yeah.
I don't care about Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I think I saw the first one, like, for the sort of, like, cultural appeal to it. But yeah, Mel Gibson does not really appeal to me as a person or an actress. Actress. Actor. Actor!
Amar M. Wooten was Jamal. He did a good job. He was good being an angsty teen.
Oh my God, this kid, I wanted to punch this kid throughout most of this.
I also did. That's why I was like, he was a great actor because I wanted to fucking bop him in the head.
Yeah. It looks like he's also touched in some children's television with Night Squad and Liz and Maddie, which I haven't seen. I don't know why, but like Liv and Maddie. That's just, ugh. I don't like it.
Dacia Nelson did a really good job playing like a spoiled brat.
Oh my God.
She was, and Maya.
She really, like, because she also like had this sort of like effect to her face, which was kind of able, shut up. Can you hear my cat?
Yeah.
Oh my God. See, that's like Maya. Just like, won't shut up. No, but she's got like a really effect to her face that like is almost like this like sort of like haughty, like I'm looking down at my nose at you, and then just like equally is just like teddy bearish and just like, okay, well, I'm a little softy now. So it's like she has that sort of dynamic feature to her face where it's just like you can see both, which I liked.
And then the twins, Evie and Gabby, played by Andrea Marie Alphonse and Selena Marie Alphonse.
Are they in anything? I don't really. They're just people.
They're just kids. I mean, they were in like a couple like Sesame Street and shit.
Okay.
And a couple of other movies, but this was, I think this was their first movie.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Well, it looks like, oh, what's his face? Dion Cole is also
he's so funny.
He's in Blackish. Yeah. Blackish, Grownish.
He's a stand-up comedian.
Is he a stand-up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was, I don't know if you, I think it's Tamala. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Tamala Jones. She was a love interest in Head of State with Chris Rock.
Now, this was such a confusing character. Like, again, like we'll talk about some of the plot points here. But no, I don't think I've seen her in any of this stuff.
You've never seen Head of State? That's like one of my favorite Chris Rock movies.
No, what is that?
It's when Chris Rock is an alderman and then he becomes, he like runs for president.
Nice. Yeah.
It's pretty great. Not that I have a say in it, but I'm very, very happy when I see representation in movies and especially on like Netflix and stuff.
Were there any white main characters at all?
No, there was like one white dude named Daniels.
Huh. I guess I just didn't miss it.
I don't even remember what role he played.
Eh, whatever. I'm just some white dude.
And then Lala was Paul, like the dead wife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, so let's get down to it. Let's do it.
Let's get into this.
Let's get down to business. Don't sue me, Disney.
They might sue you because fucking Mulan sucked.
Oh, my God. How tragic was that?
Very. This is $32 tragic.
Honestly, like, okay, so I didn't buy it. I didn't watch it. Honestly, the songs, like, what made the original? So Mulan is my favorite Disney princess, and because, well, first of all, the movie itself is super fun, very well rounded, like, definitely like breaks a lot of like gender boundaries, but also has the best songs.
Yeah.
First of all, plus Mushu,
yeah,
who is just like a perfect character. And then they just got rid of everything fun. They're like, hey, let's do Mulan, but remove everything that people like about it.
Yeah. Okay. So I love Mulan. I saw it in the theater for, I believe it was my 12th birthday.
Oh.
And then the lady who was the singing voice of Mulan is Leia Salonga, a Filipino woman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. She's a bad bitch. She's also the singing voice of Princess Jasmine. Bad bitch. And my parents were like, they called me because I refused to pay for it. They called me because they use my street, like, they use my password, use my account. They're like, we want to watch Mulan. And I was like, all right, well, it's $30. And I said it like that. They're like, all right, we'll send you $30. I was like, I'm really trying not to pay to watch it, but okay. You could have waited till December 4th. And then my dad was like, no, we want to watch it now. And then after they watched it, I was like, what'd you think of Mulan? He's like, it sucked. I was like, I tried to tell you.
Mulan. Well, right. You know, they just need to stop remaking things that that are already extremely, extremely, extremely good.
Yeah, they need to, like, make more musicals.
Oh my God. I could go on another tangent right now, but let's get down to this brass tacks. Right. with this movie, because it was really delightful. It just had so many conflicting themes and just things going on.
Yeah, I had a lot of questions about like how loans work, but we'll definitely I messaged my friend, I didn't check my messages, but I messaged my friend who's a realtor and I was like, how the fuck does this work? I was so mad. Anyway, all right, Holiday Rush 2019, now streaming on Netflix because it is a Netflix original. Let's get cracking.
Let's crack it.
Crack it like a nut. Right. Rush wakes up to texts from his kids with their Christmas lists.
Rush Williams is a DJ.
Yes, Rush Williams is a New York morning DJ, WLMA, I think, or whatever. I don't remember. There's too many letters. I really should have asked my friend Taylor, who's a radio DJ in the morning, how any of this shit works. But anyway, we might update later. So he wakes up to Christmas texts from his kids, basically demanding what they should get him for Christmas. And the two twins.
Sorry, I was pouring my wine. I was getting ready. Okay,
I like had to make sure it was wine. I was like, is this bitch pissing? What the fuck?
No, it was wine.
No, I believe you.
That's fine. But yeah, so it's like 5 a.m. though. So it's 5 a.m. He's waking up these texts and he's like, go the frick back to sleep.
Which it's really, really bright for 5 a.m. on the
I was gonna say
in
that
winter time.
His entire house is like flooded with this like gorgeous light.
Yeah. And so the twins want mini horses. His oldest daughter wants a Prada bag. These kids are spoiled as shit.
Super rude.
Yeah, then we meet Roxy, and she's his producer at the radio station.
I was really confused about their relationship. Like, how she became his producer, like, what the relationship was like before that. Like, it was definitely really confusing to me up top. Like, it's not even very much explained other than, like, this is just this reality now.
Yeah, it was very briefly explained later when they were having dinner. Like, a couple of weeks later, I guess, after the scene. But
it was really confusing up top. But and they were talking so fast.
I what really irritates me about some of these Christmas movies is they try to get the exposition out in like the first 5 minutes, and it's so much, and I have to keep pausing to write shit down. So we meet Roxy. She's his producer. We also meet his aunt Jo, and she takes care of the kids during the day. And he just straight up hands her $80. And Roxy kind of gives him a look, and Rush is like, "She's worth it," which that $80 will come in handy later. So she makes the kids lunches, and we find out that their mother died. So they need like a woman figure. Aunt Jo raised him, so he like essentially gives her money to raise his kids. I noticed something in the background of this scene when the kids were eating breakfast. There was Peeps cereal.
Peeps cereal?
Yeah, you heard me correctly. Peeps cereal.
Like as in the Easter marshmallow candy?
Yeah, it's in the scene. It caught me off guard. I was like, wait, ew, for one. I binged on those fucking things too much as a child. Now I hate them. Two, that's a limited edition Easter cereal. Why is it still in the house at Christmas time?
This is your contention with it. Yes. It's not that they're eating marshmallows for breakfast. It's the fact that it's the wrong time of year to eat marshmallows for breakfast.
Yes. With limited edition. What's it still doing in their house? That's old.
Maybe they're that rich. Maybe they can just get it whatever they want.
They didn't even eat cereal. She like made them like pancakes and shit.
Oh yeah, well,
or eggs and bacon or whatever. Okay, so I looked it up. I like straight up paused the movie and then looked up the Peeps cereal. I was so pissed. Rush and Roxy head to work, and we've met two out of the four kids so far. We met Maya and Jamal, and we haven't met the twins yet.
Yeah, because they're texting them.
Yeah, they're texting him from bed because they're little spoiled brats. So Jamal is actually waiting for an acceptance letter from Harvard, and he gets it after his dad goes to work, but he wants to wait for his dad so he can open it in front of the whole family, which I think is very, very sweet, but also, like, how can you wait all day?
Also, do college acceptances really just can't come through email these days?
I guess. I got, like, a regular letter in 2005.
Yeah, I did 2010, and I got a regular-ass letter.
I guess they want to save the Earth or whatever.
Ugh, that's so annoying.
I know. Just
kidding.
Just use those papers that you can plant, like, and then make it a tree.
Like the
paper with the seeds.
We live in a weird world.
I know. So Aunt Jo straight up tells the kids that they're spoiled to their face.
Yeah, because they are. They're, like, such little shits throughout this entire movie. And it's just like they hardly have any redeemable qualities until like they meet a poor person.
Yeah. I think they did a good job of like kind of putting the blame on Rush. Like, hey, you created these monsters. You kind of like unmake them. So Roxy tries to tame Rush's music selection to lead up to being station owners. So they want to be station owners, and she's like, hey man, don't play hip hop, just play R&B music, which, I mean,
it's like, isn't he catering to Queens and Bronx and stuff like that? Like, isn't that like where, like, it's arguably like one of like the origins of origin places like of like modern day hip hop?
Yeah, and it also like it's morning radio, like there's only, you can't play certain like cuss words and stuff. Also, it's Christmas music, like. I must not know the like origin of Christmas hip hop and R&B music, because I don't know if like there's like inappropriate ones to play.
Yeah, there's some. There are I mean, Blink-182 came out with a Christmas track that is definitely not safe for work. Did you ever hear that one?
No.
It's like, it's Christmas time again. It's time to be nice to the people you can't stand. Sorry, this is my background in music, guys. I'm just like a dumb emo white kid. Google says a few things about Christmas hip hop, but you know, I'm gonna go back to this just a little bit. There is a genre of like Christmas punk songs. There is a weird love of Christmas songs within punk throughout the ages. One of my favorites being the Fairy Tale of New York from the Pogues, and of course, like Blink-182 actually did a couple Christmas songs. We've also got ones from Fall Out Boy, The Damned, Ramones. No Doubt, like Dropkick Murphys, like there are some like really fun. Oh, and Bad Religion too, of course, because they got to be bad about it.
Okay, so Christmas in Hollis, Run DMC, Christmas Rapping, Curtis Blow, Christmas in Harlem, Kanye West, Santa Claus Goes Straight,
Santa Claus
to the Ghetto.
I just straight. Santa Claus goes straight because he's been dirty for so long.
No, I couldn't see the rest of the title and I had to click on it. So Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto by Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Players Ball by Outkast. All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey. Deck the Club, Ying Yang Twins. Saint Brick Intro, Gucci Mane.
Man.
Drummer Boy, Justin Timberlake.
Ying Yang Twins are such fun performers. They love coming. So I lived in New Orleans for 8 years, as people who listen to the podcast probably know by now, and they love New Orleans. And they would just do like random like pop-up shows, like even in like little college bars and shit like that, but they are just so fun.
Yeah, no, growing up in New Orleans, we loved the Ying Yang Twins. We loved all those rappers like Master P, Cash Money Records, all that stuff. Let's see.
Yeah.
Ooh, Ludacris came out with Ludacrismas.
Of course he did.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, yeah, there's also a Kanye track up in there from my quick little research.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. Oh, there's Run the Jewels, A Christmas Fucking Miracle. Christmas Is, Run DMC, Santa Rap, Treacherous 3, This Christmas, Mary J. Blige, A Pimp's Christmas Song, Snoop Dogg. Wow, I think I might like go into this rabbit hole and just learn more about Christmas hip hop.
Yeah.
I might make a Spotify playlist.
Oh, and I'll make you a Spotify playlist of punk Christmas tracks.
Okay. Oh, there's a Jessie J song, Man with the Bag. Yes, girl.
You know, I also had... The only Christmas album that I had growing up was the Christmas album released by 98 Degrees.
Ooh, I had the Hanson one.
Man, of course Hanson had one. Oh, that's amazing.
I also had
yeah.
NSYNC and Christina Aguilera.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I had the Glee Christmas album, and then I gave it to my boyfriend at the time's mom because she liked Glee.
The only good one... Of that, so I actually, unfortunately, recently rewatched all of Glee because I'm a garbage human. And the only decent one out of all of that was Kurt and Blaine's Baby, It's Cold Outside.
I remember that. I was, like, literally just thinking about that.
Because that's the only one worthwhile. All the other ones are garbage.
Yeah. And there is, like, a controversy with that song, which I, like, totally get.
Yeah. But also, you know.
We've learned better, but we can still enjoy the past, you know? As long as we like know what's correct in the future.
Yeah. I see it, but it's also like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun. It's a fun song.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this movie that we're talking
about. Okay. So they want to become station owners and Roxy has this like plan, like right after Rush gets off air, Roxy has this plan to go up to the, I guess, station manager, station owner, whoever the fuck he is. And
Marshall,
played by Dion Cole. And she has like a proposal for him. Like, hey, this is the numbers. Let's let Roxy and Rush become partners in being a station owner. Turns out the station already got sold to a big corporation called Camcom, and the CAMCOM execs want to meet immediately with Russian Roxy.
He's like, great timing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, speaking of which, we're going to do a meeting right now. Come on.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're just, like, waiting in the boardroom just to, like, fire them.
Yeah. So the CAMCOM wants to launch a national show, and Russia's like, oh, yeah, I'm number one in the area for R&B Christmas. Yes, let's go. I'm number one. Let's do it. And they're like, no, we're going to go with pop music. And they're like, what the fuck? So Rush and Roxy do get fired. Roxy has some hope that they're going to come back from this. And Rush is just like almost hopeless, but he kind of is like, all right, if Roxy says we got it, we got it.
So, but also, like, don't specific radio stations cater to specific, like, genres? Like, you can't just switch like an R&B station to a pop station, like, suddenly.
Yeah, that is a good point I did not think about.
Or like, maybe this, like, lady is gonna host a show on an R&B, like, it's a white lady hosting a show on an R&B station.
Yeah, about pop music. Also, don't people have contracts?
Oh, yeah, contracts exist.
Yeah, like, even though the station sold, there are specific contracts that are in place to protect workers like that, so they're not just fucking fired.
Yeah.
Like, don't they have to, like, move to, like, a different time slot or even, like, a sister station or something like that?
Yeah, because, yeah, he should, he, I mean, maybe he just didn't sign a contract and was, maybe he was still hourly, just, like, a lot of hourly.
See, plot holes everywhere.
Yeah, that is a plot hole. That's a big old one. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, so they get none money. They get none of the money, and they just have to leave.
Yep. So Rush ends up, they leave. Brush picks up the twins, and we see how completely spoiled they are.
Ugh.
Like, he's getting their stuff out of the back, and she's like, Daddy, don't forget that bag, too. And he's like, oh, I guess I gotta carry everything. And then they play, he signed him up for lacrosse because they wanted to do it, and they don't even play good. And he has all this, like, miniature girl equipment for freaking lacrosse. And so he's constantly thinking about money and how he's going to keep this lifestyle up for his kids.
And he's also like, yeah, it's a rich people sport. And they're like, uh-huh.
And? Yeah. And he's like, oh man, how am I going to tell him we're not rich? So Jamal has waited to open the email from Harvard until his dad is home. And he ends up getting in. So everybody's like really, really happy. They celebrate. And Aunt Jo notices that Rush is he's off. And
he's all like, oh, maybe your fallback school could be my alma mater. He's like, community college.
Yeah. And they laugh in his face about community college, which honestly, I wish I went to a community college because I would have got the same education for a lot less money.
Yeah, nobody would care.
Yeah.
No one would care.
Because look at me now, unemployed.
yeah life sucks.
When I did have a job, wasn't my degree anyway. Good for Jamal getting into Harvard and shit.
He's like, oh damn it, why do I have to have smart kids?
Yo, okay, I have a question. All right, I'm gonna forget it if I don't ask it now. For such a smart young man to get into Harvard, why does he have to be a spoiled ass bitch like that and be rude to Roxy later on in the movie and be fucking sad about his dead mom and not realize how hard his dad is working to try to give them a good life with a good family and how Roxy's not trying to replace his mom, take over the house and stuff like that? How does someone that gets into Harvard not realize that and runs away from home and throws a goddamn hissy fit?
Yeah, and the kids keep blaming him for getting fired. It's like you ruined our lives. You're so selfish. And he's like, I'm literally just doing my best. I just got fired and you're being rude.
Yeah, and at one point Maya does admit, like, hey, I know you're trying to do your best. And he's like, oh, what was that?
Yeah, she had a really cool moment. She had some cool moments. She was definitely the coolest of all of them.
Yeah, she was a fun character. But, like, that's my problem, is Jamal's such a smart young man to get into Harvard, but why does he gotta act like an asshole?
Well, sometimes you can have a high book intelligence, but a low like social and emotional intelligence.
Yeah, it's just like my sister. She's super smart, book smart, but she's dumb.
Yeah. No, my sister had to like, she's super duper duper book smart, but she had to like, she had to learn how to be empathetic. Like she had to like actively like learn it as like a skill. She's gotten a lot better.
It's so funny. My dad will say about my sister, he's like, I don't know how someone so books, like so smart, can just be so clueless. And separately and individually, my husband Derek also said the same thing about her. He's like, I don't know how someone so smart can just be such a dipshit. And I just laugh. I'm like, you're just like my dad. That's why I married you.
Ew.
I know. I said that to be gross.
I was like, oh, ha, ha, ha. No. No.
Derek and dad are not alike. It's fine. It's like the one thing they agree on. Aunt Jo notices that Rush is off, and he tells her that he got fired. Mm-hmm. She asks if he saved money, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
What? And basically, he was spending all his money to keep up this bougie lifestyle for his kids. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely dreading telling the kids. He finally does sit them down and tell them, and the kids are fucking pissed.
They are so rude. They're like so rude. They're not like, oh man, dad, I'm so sorry that you lost a job that you've loved and had mm-hmm. for like 30 plus years. They're like, you're the worst for getting fired. Like, oh God, it was a painful scene to watch.
Yeah. So I guess now it's like about 12 days until Christmas. I didn't notice like a time thing until this moment.
Yeah. They had weird rules, I think, to this. Okay. So they had like weird rules throughout, because randomly he would do like a voiceover. And then it was like sporadically, because like it would change scenes or change days without there having like the how many days until Christmas. Mm-hmm. But then it would have it sometimes. And then, oh, we're gonna get to this, the whole ghost mom thing happening.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
The weird Christmas story change voiceover thing. I don't remember what story was it.
Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Oh yeah, he did that like weird Twas the Night Before Christmas voiceover thing where he changed it, and then yeah, ghost mom thing. It's like, is there magic in this movie?
Like it was just like weird rules.
Yeah,
that like, yeah, there's a lot of elements going on here, but yeah, for some reason, I guess we'll get to it in a second and we'll talk more about it.
This does feel like an overstuffed stocking of a story, because there's so much shit in it.
There's a lot.
All right.
Overstuffed stocking. You Christmas motherfucker over there.
I know. Look at my analogies.
It's really tickling my jingle bells, you know?
It's really jingling your bells.
Oh, you know what? That was better. Thank you. You're a dick.
I was about to say, I'll trim your tree later. And I was like, no.
Ew. You know what? Come over here and prove it, you sexy beast.
I'll crack your nuts.
Ooh, what does that mean? Are you going to crack my boobies?
Nope. I will go with a bag of nuts that have shells on them.
And gotcha. Crack
them for you.
Oh, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that.
I'm such a nice person.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. So
12 days until Christmas.
12 days until Christmas. And he has to sell the freaking house. And the kids are major dicks about this.
Yeah. So Rush needs to sell the house because Roxy found his old station up for sale. So the station where he got his start is up for sale. The building is up for sale. Like, I guess it's a whole package.
Yeah. All the equipment and everything.
Yeah, so it's the station Rush got his first break, and Roxy will put up her 401k, and Aunt Jo straight up hands him $45,000 in cash. Oh, and he's like, God. Am I the only one not saving around here? And they're like, yeah, you're stupid for not saving your money.
Yeah, you're a man in your 50s who's had a lifelong career. Mm-hmm. Get it together.
No, you should have been saving for that college fund, bruh.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. So they've kind of decided to go back to their roots. Like, they're going to go to the station where they got their start from. So Rush needs to sell that house to get more money to provide his share of this acquisition. So they move in to the old house, which is where Aunt Jo lives.
And yeah, so he's visiting this house just to kind of like scope it out, I guess, or creep on it or whatever. And then like ghost wife appears.
Yeah.
So like we have like a fully like ghosty wife talking to him and being like, remember that time?
Yeah, gold shimmer outline and everything.
It was so weird. It was so cheesy. And it just like blew up the like what we thought about this world just for a few scene or just like for the scene. And it's like, why is this happening? And then she's like, remember that time that we had the Christmas? Wasn't that nice?
I get that he was like having like a moment with himself, but like it was unexplained and weird because they didn't establish magic rules in this world. And it didn't seem like this was a magical world to... I didn't like the dead wife stuff. If they did it through like video, more videos, because I know they did it through some video, but if they did it through more video, I think that would have been better.
Yeah, they could have just, there's the whole rule of film is like show, don't tell, and this was just like them just blasting through that and being like, no, we're just gonna have a whole lot of context and this unnecessary character and actor we now have to pay. Pew, pew, pew!
Yeah. And after he talks to the dead wife, they move in and Maya and Jamal have a hugely awful attitude. Later we find out why Jamal has an attitude and Maya has an attitude for very like superficial reasons. She's like, she's pretty salty that like they're not rich anymore.
Yeah. She's like, I want to show off to people on Instagram.
Yeah. And she's like, six people, one bathroom. Ew. I was like,
that's a fair complaint. Of all the complaints, that's the most solid for sure.
Yeah. I was just like, no, I get it.
Girl. I live in an apartment by myself. I live in a 2-bed, 2-bath. And thank God I have that other bath because I was straight up taking a big old poop today in one of my bathrooms, discovered I was out of toilet paper in that one. So I had to scoop my dirty ass to the other one.
We have to
finish the job. Thank goodness I have 2 bathrooms.
Derek and I have split the bathrooms in the house. The one in the bedroom is my bathroom and I can have whatever I want in there. And
what does that mean?
It's all my like beauty care stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't know where my brain went with that, but
I don't either. It's just all my, I have a lot of beauty products because I'm beautiful.
You are gorgeous.
I know. But, oh, what was I saying? Oh, and he has his bathroom with all his dumb shit in it, which is just talcum powder.
Yeah, when I lived with my ex, he used the other bathroom to grow weed into. He grew weed.
Good for him.
Good for him. I hope he's doing okay. Anyway.
Me too. Does he still sell weed? No, I'm just kidding.
It's fine. So... when he does the night before Christmas voiceover at this point, when he's just like, oh, and they're all sleeping in their beds, but they're all pissed off too.
Yeah. So
it's just so weird. It's so weird. And like throughout this too, like they're focusing so much on his home life and just being sporadic with, I think, like the storytelling rules of his relationship with his family. And they're not showing, they literally just bought a business.
Yeah.
They just bought an entire ass business where they have to hire people, where they have to like that's more than a full-time job. Like that's, you're taking care of a baby.
Yeah.
You know, when you start a business, it is like taking care of a baby in that you have to constantly nurture it, get up at 4 a.m. in the morning. If something goes wrong, like, and home dude's just dilly-dallying, talking in his head, like it's the night before Christmas and talking to his dead wife. It's like, no, you need to get to work.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that was my little rant.
No, it was well deserved. He like owning your own business is fucking hard, especially if like you were poor and now you've been knocked down and you have to provide for 4 children.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Especially when it's going to Harvard. Come on.
Yeah. Well, since they are poor now, the twins have a GoFundMe for the mini horses that they wanted.
Also, couldn't he have asked him to set up a GoFundMe for his new business?
It could, he could have, but he didn't, because
he didn't.
Yeah.
But that was a cute little, that was a cute little moment. It's like, they know technology and they wanted to have a mini horse.
They got over $1,000 on that GoFundMe. Did they really? Yeah, I saw the number. I was like, damn, can we get those, can we hire those girls to get a GoFundMe for this podcast?
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be great. Anyway, if you guys got rich little kids that want mini horses but will donate their mini horse fund to our podcast, we would love it.
Oh, by the way, Holly, I forgot to tell you, I know that we're well into this podcast recording at this point, but I do have a surprise at the end that is interesting. It's an interesting surprise at the end of this podcast that I want to ask our listeners.
Okay.
Anyway.
So their old station found out about Rush and Roxy buying the station. Like, Camcom found out about them buying WBQL, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So the mean Camcom lady tells their old boss Marshall that they're going to try and block advertisers from getting ad space at the new station. Which,
how do you even do that?
So I don't know, but I guess he bullied them. He's like, hey, if you advertise on this other station, we're not going to let you advertise on this big old station.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's dumb.
Yeah, it really is dumb. And also, like, that's like illegal.
Is it?
Isn't that illegal?
That makes sense.
I don't know. I don't like the rules of this world.
I don't think there are any rules at this point. They're just...
A lot of magic and reality do not make sense.
There's a lot of stuff going on in this movie.
So they go back. So I guess it's Rush and Roxy are back at the old station, and they have a week to get back on air. So mm-hmm. I guess it's like a... my notes are confusing.
So oh, yeah. So
they go back to the old station after they buy it. They have a week to get back on air.
Yeah, and so this is also where we see a little bit of the romance budding. Like, there's a few moments where they're like, yeah. They're like, ooh, wait, do we want to kiss?
Yeah.
And they, like, look at each other like, oh, wait, I could kiss you, but they don't. But they're not as frustrated as they were with those other movies where it's just like, oh, yeah. I cannot. It's just more just like, oh, wait, is this an option?
It's pretty subtle, and I really, really like that, because it's just like, hey, we're, like, really good friends, we're really close, we work together, we also are in each other's personal lives as support systems, here's a hug, but then it's just like, oh, wait, are you?
Yeah.
Our faces are kind of close. Awkward.
They were almost kisses, but with context, instead of, like, an almost kiss, and then, like, a crash happens.
They do that twice. This is the first time.
And yeah,
the second time happens when they do it with the Christmas ones. Anyway, so
I do want to point out that the old coworkers at the old station are conflicted.
Yeah, Janella is really, like, she knows that what's happening is fucked up, and she's high anxiety about it. And I think Marshall is starting to kind of be like, was that fucked up that I just did that? I don't know. It's not personal. It's business.
It's also heavily implied, though, that he's sleeping with Camcom lady.
Kind of. They kind of touch on it, but then she ends up being like, you can't handle this.
Yeah, fair.
But he wants to. He's kind of portrayed as, like, the sleazy guy that will sleep with anything halfway decent looking.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, his show would be Holiday Rush with Rush Williams on Crush BQL. Rush on Crush. I just made that up. But Roxy gets a call from someone that was supposed to get an ad. And then she realizes that they're not getting an ad.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But then they come up with commercial-free Christmas.
Yeah, so Rush is the one motivating Roxy with a commercial-free Christmas. And they say it's a short-term loss for a long-term gain. So basically, like, the thing that people hate the most are the ads, but it's the thing that makes the station the most money to be able to play the good music. So they're really trying to make lemonade out of lemons, so to
say. Yeah.
So Rush leaves to get kids in the Christmas spirit. So they go get a tree. Jamal has a bad attitude.
Oh, he's so annoying in the scene, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, why shouldn't I give up on Harvard? You did. And it's just like, oh, dude, like, he did not give up. He got fired.
Yeah. And it's just so annoying. Like, never once has Rush said to his son, hey, Harvard is out of the picture. Never once did he say that to his son.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, working his ass off to try to get his come back so his kid can go to Harvard. I think that's, like, besides, you know, his family staying together and them having a roof over their head, I think his number one priority of getting back to the top is to get his son to go to Harvard. It's not to get Maya her Prada bag or to get the twins their mini horses. It's to get him to college for his future.
Yeah.
Ooh, entitled little shit. Damn.
Yeah. But then homegirl Maya finally has, like, a really nice moment of empathy.
Okay, so before we get the moment of empathy, I fucking love her for her little salesmanship. Like, earlier with the pool, she's like, you need to get this shit done. We will pay overtime, okay? And then at the tree place, she's like, no, 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 that one's short. You need to charge us less. I was like, yes, negotiate. I fucking love her. She's going to be one of those girls that's going to have all the nice things, but spend the least amount of money. I fucking love her.
Yeah, she's going to be a shrewd business lady someday. She did have a really strong personality throughout.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rare with any little kid characters. I think within any Christmas movie, because they're just like, here's a little kid as a prop.
Yeah. She was a great character. And she had, like, a good character growth throughout the thing. And she was acted really, you know what? Maya's my favorite character in this whole movie. Even though she's, like, a little bitch in the beginning, I'm Team Maya.
Team Maya, baby.
Team Maya. So Rush and Maya do have this heart to heart. And she goes into what other girls are getting. Like, oh, yeah, so-and-so has this kind of pretty shirt for Christmas mass. And then, she knows her dad is trying his best, even though they're high maintenance. And she even says, like, she's like, we get it, Dad. You're doing as best as you can. We're not exactly low maintenance. And he's like, excuse me, what did you just say? Can you say that? He's like, oh, come on, Dad. You were right. But, like, she knows that she needs to get out of her little bougie ways, but that is, she knows it's going to take some time.
I mean, she's self-aware, which is nice.
You know what, she's gonna, if there was a school that was better than Harvard, Maya's gonna go to it.
University of Phoenix Online.
You know what, Maya is gonna create her own university.
Like in that one Justin Long movie.
Accepted?
Accepted. Remember that one? That was great.
I think I saw it once, and then I was just like, no.
I don't think it holds up today at all.
I don't think it would hold up today either.
But I had fun when it came out.
It's probably like 40-year-old virgin. It's like, oh, it was fun at the time, but now.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, maybe skip it. Anyway, so this is also the time that Roxy's over, and she tells the story of her father getting tackled in a Santa suit.
They're unpacking Christmas ornaments and they're just like looking at ornaments, and she sees this thing, or I don't remember if she saw something, but it did something reminded her of this story about how her parents were divorced. They couldn't afford separate houses. So her mom lived on the top and her dad lived on the bottom. They split the house down the middle, and her dad ended up getting tackled in a Santa suit on their front lawn. And he kind of like, Rush kind of like gives her a hug. He's like, oh, poor baby. You were traumatized as a child. And when they hug, they have that moment where their faces are close and it's like an almost kiss, but then they turn away at the last second. Then he sees his dead wife's flash drives of their Christmas memories and shit.
Ugh. But you know, ghost wife earlier said that he should move on. So it's fine.
Yeah, I guess he had permission to live his life.
That was such a weird, just a weird choice. Also, it's really cute, too, during this scene where, like, Aunt Jo is like, I don't need Christmas decorations. All I need is my nativity with black baby Jesus.
Yep. I am so happy that, like, all of their, like, religious stuff was, like, black Jesus stuff. I had a teacher in middle school, and it was, I went to a Catholic school.
Same.
And there was like white Jesus everywhere, but when we went into her classroom, it was like black Jesus everywhere. I was like, oh, I'm gonna stay in this room because it's way better.
Yeah. Well,
she was a cool teacher. I liked her.
It was a cute little nativity scene too.
Yeah.
We definitely had, we had one very similar to it growing up, but it's nostalgic, but it was also really nice. Like, and kind of like on brand, I would say, like with that sort of like, you know, aunt living in a poor neighborhood who's like still super religious. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I felt like it was relatable on many, many fronts.
I'm really glad that, okay. So I noticed in the beginning, Aunt Jo wore wigs and the first wig was really bad and I felt really pissed off for them giving this like beautiful woman a shitty wig. I'm also really glad they showed her with just a headscarf. Like, she didn't have to have a wig on the whole time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, I appreciate that. Like, people have like different hairstyles. You don't have to wear a wig all the time. Just be like natural or look beautiful in a headscarf.
Yeah. Cause also let's see, all the little girls all had relaxed hair as well, which is its own kind of maintenance as well. Like, it,
yeah.
And they had Maya, whenever she went to bed, she would wear her little headscarf too.
I have a bonnet that
bonnet.
If I feel like taking care of my hair, I'll wear it to bed. I'm really also supposed to have silk pillowcases for my hair. Cause I have I think I have like 3B hair. That's my texture and curl pattern for my hair.
Nice.
And so I have to like have special like stuff. That's why it's always in a bun. It's always messy because I don't take care of my hair good.
You know what is interesting? Like, I'm sorry, I'm looking at these actresses too. And it's interesting that they all had relaxed hair for this too, because it looks like all of them prefer to keep their hair more or less natural as like regular, like in their human lives that aren't acting.
I'm very much a pro natural hair person,
mm-hmm.
because I don't, and also there's like the Crown Act too with hair, saying that like people with like natural hairstyles are still professional and like in a professional environment. Natural hair is professional. So people who have a very curly texture, like 4B, 4C hair, which can have the afros and mm-hmm. dreadlocks, that's still professional hairstyle and people shouldn't be discriminated against. Because I'm very adamant that white people cannot have dreadlocks.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, their hair
designs. I would agree with that. And you know, I also know this full well, knowing that I did date, in fact, a white guy with dreadlocks, and I'm still apologizing for it.
You
I am.
Should be. Girl, when I first met him, I had to keep my mouth shut.
No, you and like literally everyone else. And I get it. I just, you know, sometimes we're just all real stupid people and we make real stupid things happen in our lives.
You love who you love, Scarlett.
I just, oh boy. I didn't think
less of you.
You did a little bit. You did a little bit, and I'm okay with that.
No, not you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
Rush starts playing old videos of Paula, the dead wife, at Christmas, and the kids watch from the stairs, and immediately, as soon as Jamal sees it, he runs upstairs crying. And I was like, yeah. Oh no. And Rush gets the girls off the stairs, and like they all kind of have like a cuddle puddle, and they just like watch old videos. And I know that grieving is different for everybody, but I just like, in this moment, I felt my heart wrench for Jamal, because like the girls and Rush are at the point where they can look back at the videos. They can actually watch them and look back and have good times. But Jamal is still in that grieving process of where like he can't see those things because it hurts too much still.
Oh yeah. Well, and they explain it really well later on too, mm-hmm. of just him being like, yeah, all the memories I have of this house is mom dying.
Yeah.
And like being sick and dying. It's like that does make a lot of sense. And that does give a lot of context to it. Like, especially like when he like refused to go into the house in the first place. Like in one of those first scenes. And I was just like, why is he being such a little bitch about this? And then like the context later was like, all right, that actually is, that's pretty legit.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Marshall, back at CAMCOM, has assured his boss that no advertisers will be buying airtime on Rush's new station. Janella, the assistant, opens the window and immediately they see a huge 14-foot billboard with Rush's face on it with commercial-free You and Me, Christmas time, WBQL, Crush, whatever, whatever.
There is also a line during this scene too where Janella is like straight up like, your insecurity is not my problem.
I know. And that was like the first thing as soon as that scene popped up. She's like, your insecurity is not my problem. I was like, yes, more women need to tell men this.
Oh, this my God. I love it so much. Yeah, honestly, like, because I discovered this too late in life. I'm 29 and I just discovered that people's insecurity doesn't have to be my problem. Oh my God, my life has just drastically changed for the better. Yeah,
absolutely, especially if that person is your partner, romantic partner, business partner, gym partner, friendship partner.
Anyone.
Anyone like close to you.
Like, your insecurity is not my problem. Like, I love it. But yeah, so CAMCOM, they're being dicks again. They're like, they see the billboard and they're like, oh, we must sabotage in some way because we must be the only one. We must be the only, even though they're like playing pop music, for some reason they're in competition with an R&B station in New York City.
Yeah,
so it's like, so it's like there's only two stations now in New York City. And apparently there can only be one radio station for all of New York City.
Oh, that's so dumb. I hate it. I hate these laws in this universe. It's infuriating. Anyway, Janella ends up quitting. She's like, I can't take it. And she like throws paper in the air. I don't know if she really actually does that, but she quits.
Yeah.
And I was like, good for her finally. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. She found her integrity. Oh, yes. So
the next thing is so cute though.
I know Rush and Roxy have their celebration dinner. Mm-hmm. And the waiter mistakes them for lovers.
And he's like, here's our best Chianti for free.
And he's like, Rush is like, oh damn, tight. Okay. So Rush gets the attention of, like, I guess they have, like, this moment where, like, he's like, I couldn't have been here without you, which is, like, mm-hmm. super sweet. It just, like, in general is, like, a friend thing to say. Like, their friendship is so strong.
Yeah.
And they have a good friendship. And they haven't crossed lines. They haven't been inappropriate with each other. They just have, like, a solid fucking friendship. And I love that.
I would say actor-to-actor chemistry across the board in this movie is just A plus.
They crushed it. They crushed it. They crushed my heart. Yes. In a good way. So Rush gets the attention. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, I was gonna say I was gonna also keep it moving along, but he gets the attention of the people and then he asks her to dance.
I know. I love the fact that he's like, he gets the attention. He's like, I want to thank the most important person in my life. And he like makes a joke and it's like not her. It's like some random lady from accounting. And he makes her laugh. And then there's music playing and he asks her to dance, even though there's like no dance floor. And it's not one of those like, it's not a dance place. Mm-hmm. And she just like, she's like, all right, if I can be in your arms, I'll do it. And then he confesses his feelings and they kiss. Oh my goodness.
Actually, here's the thing is, okay, so they kiss and then they confess the feelings. Sorry, this is important to me, but it is she's the one who initiates the kiss because he's getting all up in her biz, and but she's like the one who's like, all right, I'm doing this, it's on. and she's the first one to confess her feelings, which I weirdly really like a lot. especially because like he's the main character, and but she's like still kind of taking control of the situation in her own way, which is just like, I'm just really grateful to be a part of your life. Like, I think you have such a wonderful thing going. I like you a lot. And he's like, I'm crazy about you. And it's like, cool, we know.
I feel like he kind of like was leading on the conversation, like, hey, I like you. And then she kisses him.
Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway.
But she does initiate the kiss. They do that like hitch 90-10 thing. Like, he went 90% of the way and she took the last 10%.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cute. But I rated this kiss 4 calling birds out of 5 golden rings.
You know what? I almost gave it 4 calling birds out of 5 golden rings. But I think I gave it a 3 French hens plus an egg. You know what I mean? Like a 3.5.
Okay.
3 French hens plus an egg. Because it was, there was so much unsureness in the kiss, which means it was acted very well. Mm-hmm. Like, they did a very good job, but there was so much between the two characters. There was like so much uncertainty.
History.
Yeah, there was like so much uncertainty, and there was like, it was, there was still some holding back. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't have given it that 4 calling birds. It did make my tummy flip, and I was like,
really? It made my tummy flutter. Yeah. Like that, like tummy flutters are automatic, like an automatic 4 for me.
Yeah. I almost gave it a 4, but I was like, oh man, they're so unsure about this kiss. Like they're still holding something back. So I can't give it a full 4. I have to give it a 3.5.
Yeah.
But it does, like, it does speak to their acting. The fact that I could read that uncertainty mm-hmm. in a kiss. I don't know. I just think they did a really, they're great actors.
I thought it was a great kiss. Definitely, like, it was heart fluttery, but it wasn't like, this is the most magical moment. Like, it was like definitely like a heart fluttery experience, but like, you know, there wasn't like swirling snow and, yeah, I don't know, you know, carolers and, you know, yeah, just like the little like magic touches. Like, it was a perfectly fluttery, normal kiss.
Yeah, it was a great, kiss. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but they also do like open mouth it. Like mm-hmm. when they kiss again, like it's a straight up just like, just open mouth on open mouth experience. And it's A+.
Yeah. I love a good open mouth kiss in a movie.
Love it. So yeah. So then he decides to announce to his kids that like, cool. Hey, I just kissed her. Now we're together.
Yeah. So while they're still at the restaurant, I wanted to like, say this just because it kind of establishes like where their relationship comes from. Mm-hmm. So we get the idea that when they met 5 years ago that she liked him then, but his wife had just died and she was just happy to be his friend. Like she recognized that he was someone that needed a friend, and she was happy to be that person for him, even though, like, you know, it was a little too soon to go beyond a friendship. She's a good ass patient friend. Fuck yeah, Roxy.
She is.
So after the date, he takes Roxy home to announce that they're dating, and the girls and Aunt Jo are super fucking excited about it.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally jumping up and down and screaming, but Jamal is not happy at all.
Ugh, he's so annoying.
He is annoying, but, you know, we do find out why he's feeling the way he is.
Yeah.
His feelings are valid, but the way he went about it was really disrespectful.
And then I guess we cut back to Marshall at some point.
Yeah, Joss, the mean lady, and Marshall are back at CAMCOM, and the big bosses aren't happy about Rush and the station not securing the market viability. Whatever she said, I don't know what the fuck that shit means.
It's her, so her dumb. Her
stocks are shrinking. This is like when like the jargon gets too confusing, and I'm like, I get what they're trying to say, that it's like bad news for the bad guys, but like, fuck you. I want to understand like adult shit, and I can't understand adult shit because it's so convoluted.
Well, it's not even convoluted. It's just not nonsense, because it's like, if they're trying to corner the market of radio in general in New York City, like, what, like, you want to be the only radio station in New York City? You would just want to have one airwave and that's it, like, with one genre? Okay, have fun with that.
You're totally
secure right. That market.
Oh, you're totally right. This is, it's so stupid to have like one, it's not a one-stop shop music scene. Come on, that's why we got Spotify.
Exactly. It's like, also, it's a dying medium too.
So now it is Christmas Eve. Rush and Roxy are preparing for the air when Janella, the old assistant at CamCom, now the new assistant at Crush, comes running in. And this is also where I got confused, because I don't know how this fucking shit works. Apparently, Rush's house didn't sell, so the bank yanked in their line of credit, and they can't pay people, whatever, whatever. I don't know how any of that works.
Oh, it's also nonsense.
I like thought that when you take out a line of credit or get a loan from a bank, you sign a contract saying you have this much time to pay.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man? I need to go back to like economics or like.
I don't think you do. I think the writers need to.
Man, I don't know how any of this fucking shit works.
It's so like, I think the writers need to learn how loans work.
I called my realtor friend and I was like so angry. I was like, how the fuck does this work? And I played her the clip of the movie. I was like, you tell me. I actually didn't. I didn't see if she responded back, but.
Yeah, I think it's just nonsense.
Yeah. So Rush gets a call that immediately Rush gets a call that Jamal ran away. Like they're Rush and Roxy were trying to figure out what to do about the station. Then Jamal gets that call that, I mean, I'm sorry, Rush gets that call that Jamal ran away. And so Roxy was like, go, just go find Jamal. So they end up going to look for him. Roxy catches up and goes with Maya to walk around the neighborhood to look for him. Rush like drives around to their old neighborhood to see if he can find Jamal.
Mm-hmm. We also find out that they live on Sesame Street.
Do they really? So, oh no, that's a guy. That's where he's from.
Yeah, the neighbor. The neighbor man, Reginald, is Gordon. He's like the original, like one of the original Sesame Street characters. He's Gordon on Sesame Street.
I saw him and I didn't click on his IMDb because I totally forgot about it. I saw him. And I was like, that old man, I know I've watched him on some television show as a child, and that's all that registered in my brain. And then as soon as you said Sesame Street, I was confused for about 2 seconds, and then I realized, I was like, oh my god, that's the fucking guy from Sesame Street.
Yeah, yeah, like he's, oh yeah, he was like the OG, like Sesame Street, like resident, you know?
I like seeing him as like a horny old man.
But yeah, he was a super horny old man. Which is nice.
Yeah, I was like so into it. It's like my childhood dream come true. So they're unsuccessful looking for Jamal. And Rush sees, like they're all back at the house. And Rush sees this old family picture. And suddenly he knows where Jamal is. He finds him. I don't actually remember where they are, but he finds him and they have a heart to heart. He says Jamal says it's hard to be in the house where Paula got sick and Rush hid his grieving from his children. Like, cause basically Jamal was like, why weren't you so sad that mom died? And he's like, I was incredibly sad. I just hid it by buying you guys all this stuff to try to distract myself and you guys from the pain of losing your mother. And then they hug and Rush ends up confessing to Jamal that he in fact loves Roxy.
Oh yeah, that was cute. Wait, yeah. I wanted to say before this though is Maya got nicer because she met a poor mom.
Oh yeah. Maya walking around the neighborhood meeting poor people. She's like, oh, I'm nice now.
Yeah, she just like met a bunch of poor people. I was like, oh yeah, I guess we are privileged. That does make me feel better about myself.
My dad doesn't have to get on a bus and find babysitters and, you know, work Christmas Eve and Christmas to make double time because he has a house that he sold. Marshall realizes, we're back at CamCom, and Marshall realizes that he's been a dick for fucking Rush over at Christmas time. And so we see him kind of have this like gung-ho attitude of like, all right, I'm going to make things right. And then we don't find out until later what that is. So Roxy and Maya end up lighting up the house with the help of Mr. Reginald. Mm-hmm. And Jamal apologizes to Roxy, and she totally understands. She's super cool about it. She gets it. So now we wake up and it's Christmas morning. the twins get miniature horses for Christmas.
They're stuffed.
They go, miniature horses that don't poop. So cute.
Wait. Were you forgetting Santa Marshall, though?
I am not forgetting Santa Marshall, though. Yeah, it's coming up.
Sorry, I wanted to make a fun little pun because of the movie. Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, forgetting Santa Marshall.
Sorry. I wanted to insert that somewhere in this conversation, and I'm glad that I awkwardly did it.
I'm glad you awkwardly did it, too. Forgetting Santa Marshall. Fucking hate you, dude.
Anyway, so they got mini horses, and they all have matching onesies.
Yeah. Oh, so cute. So the twins get mini horses that don't poop. Jamal gets a Harvard sweatshirt, and Maya's just like pissed off in the corner. She's like, at least y'all got presents. And Rush has this thing behind his back, and he like, hey, Maya, I got something for you. And he pulls out this gift for Maya. I swear to God, it sounds like you're peeing, but I know it's your wine. I don't want people to hear that and be like, it's who's pissing?
No, I'm for sure pouring more wine.
Yeah. So Rush pulls out this box from behind his back, and Maya opens it. She's like really happy that she's got a Christmas present, and she opens it, and it's their mom's sapphire necklace. Oh my God, I cried.
It's real pretty too. It was a real pretty necklace.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And then they like kind of broke the tension with, don't tell Jamal, he loves that necklace. And then Jamal's like, I'm sitting right here. So,
oh, and they got another onesie.
I know, they give Roxy family matching pajamas. And what did the back of it say?
All at once? Each one had a different word on it. And it said all together, all I want for Christmas is you.
And she's the you.
And she's the you.
Oh my God, I kept crying. This is so cute.
That is so cute.
Matching onesies with... No, I don't want kids, so never mind.
Yeah.
I want matching onesies with my dogs. So, turns out, Rush got up really, really early in the morning and lowered the price on his old house and sold it. So now they'll be able to do radio station things. But then Marshall shows up at the door. We did not forget Santa Marshall. And Rush straight up tackles him and beats the shit out of him.
Oh, it's such a funny fight, too. Like, both of their faces are just golden.
Yeah, Aunt Jo was like, you're gonna kill that man. But Marshall tells him that he quit CAMCOM and wants to be a partner in WBQL. So they end up becoming partners, but instead of, you know, Roxy and Rush wanting to be Marshall's partner, Marshall wants to be their partner.
Yeah.
He runs to the station because they can now broadcast because Marshall's check is like enough to, plus the house selling is like enough to push him over the edge. I don't know how this works. Like you get money and now you can go on. I don't fucking know how this works.
Yeah, this is all dumb.
Yeah, so he broadcasts, and then they serve food at it's like later that night, they serve food to people.
Yeah, at a church. That was like part of their thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, my God. You know what I forgot about?
What?
You didn't watch the last 8 minutes of this movie.
You didn't?
Oh, my God. I totally forgot to.
Oh, my God.
My mom called me, and I just like picked up, and then I just totally forgot to watch the last 8 minutes of it.
No, it's totally great because, like, so most of it is just credits, but, like, Aunt Jo gets up on stage and sings.
Shut up!
She wears this super, oh, my God, no, you need to go right now.
Oh, God super, damn it.
There's a dress reveal, and it's no! Aunt Jo. Yes, go, I'm not even going to tell you what it is. You need to go right now and look at it because there's an Aunt Jo dress reveal.
God damn it. I love dress reveals so much. You know how much I love these.
I know. That's why I'm not spoiling it for you. And I'm making you go to a television and watch the last couple of minutes.
I'm so sorry. I just realized this when I realized that all of my notes had stopped. And I was like, that's a weird place for the movie to end. And I was like, wait. I didn't watch the movie. Okay. Oh, here it is. You hear it?
Yeah.
This day is not about me. Oh, Auntie Jo. It is about you now. All right, she's about to, oh my goodness. Here she is. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. That dress. Oh, she is a hot old lady.
Yes. I'm so glad we got your like actual reaction recorded.
Oh man. Girl, get it. Oh, that girl can. Oh, she can get it. Oh, listen, thank you so much, Holly. Oh, I love it. Okay, all right. Woo! All right, I'll watch the rest of that later. But that was actually paused at the exact moment she was about to go on stage.
Yeah, that's basically the end of the movie. They kind of all like sing with her and like, you know, happily ever after.
Oh, yay.
I'm so glad I got to watch that moment on your face.
She just pulls off her coat.
Yeah.
And she is just like, whoo, she is a straight up gilf. Oh. All right.
Damn. Oof. There was something in the water in 1938 when she was born.
Oh my God. Nice. That was very exciting.
But that's it. That's the end of the movie.
Nice. Yay. Also, okay, so now that we're at the end of the movie, I do have one little surprise, and it's a weird surprise.
Okay.
So I got a couch from a thrift store, and I was looking, I thought I'd lost something in this couch, right? And so I recently got this, and I found a driver's license in this couch that I got from a thrift store. And I have spent most of the day trying to find this person on the internet, and I cannot. I don't know if this person just doesn't have because it's also a pretty generic name, so it could just be like 1,000 of these out there. But his name is Brandon Thomas McConnell from Pennsylvania, born in 1996. I know it's a long shot because we have like 25 listeners at this point, but if any of you know him, if you know a Brandon Thomas McConnell from Pennsylvania, born in 1996.
Is he white?
Oh, he's for sure white. He's white with brown hair and glasses. He has brown eyes. He's 5'9" and an organ donor. Good for him. This was issued in 2014. So, you know, he could be out there. And I just want him to get his license. You know, I don't know if he's out there just driving without a license, or if he's, you know, dead or in jail. But at the same time, I feel like Brandon should have this.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to search him right now, I have tried all damn day.
Not on Facebook. He's not on
Facebook. Not on Facebook. Not on LinkedIn.
What about Twitter?
Not on. There is a Brandon McConnell on Twitter, but it is not him. I even messaged somebody on LinkedIn with his same name, and I'm just like, hey, what are the odds y'all are all in a club?
A Brandon McConnell club.
Brandon McConnell club, but there's a lot of them.
There's a Brandon McConnell with no picture.
There's a lot of them. Anyway, this is a rabbit hole that's going to take you hours because it took me hours. But anyway, that was my little fun surprise for the end of this episode.
Hell yeah. Well, if you know who Brandon McConnell is, you can email us at netflixmisspodcast@gmail.com. Tweet us at netflixmisspod, Instagram at netflixmisspodcast, facebook.com/netflixmisspodcast, and patreon.com/netflixmisspodcast. This episode will go out sometime in October, date to be determined because I have to edit, and it will be posted publicly on December 9th. Yes. Ooh. December 9th. That, I believe, is a Wednesday.
Just in time for the holiday rush.
Yes, it is just in time for the holiday rush. So if you are listening to this in October, don't forget our raffle is still happening. Not really a raffle. It's a giveaway happening on Instagram. And then we're probably going to have like another giveaway soon. We're coming, probably going to come out with some advent calendars. They're pretty tight. I made some. They're pretty cute. And if you are a $50 patron, I'll just send you an advent calendar.
Nice.
Or I don't even think we have a $50 tier. I have a $100 tier. If you get that, I'll send you one. And yeah, you know, rate us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck it's called now. Google?
I don't know.
Rate us. Please give us 5 stars. If not, I mean, just email me directly.
Just tell us we're doing a good job, because I feel like we're doing a great job.
Yeah. In December, we're going to be posting 2 episodes a week, and most of them will be Netflix originals.
Yay! I'm so excited.
I am also excited.
Well, yeah. I hope in between now and then that all of y'all out there have a very Merry
Netflixmas.
Nailed it!